Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I really want to talk to you today about about some things. Mainly it's going to be about charting a path of freedom in today's world. Charting a path to freedom in today's world. And I really want you to pay close attention, because I don't want you to misunderstand what I say, and I don't want you to mishear it as well. But the subtitle that Mike talked about, subtitle is Overcoming the Sounds of the Day. If we're going to chart the new freedom for today that we need to hold on to, and freedoms that we need to grab hold of, we're going to have to overcome the sounds of the voices that are screaming in our ears in this land. And there's how many of you know there's a lot of voices? There are a lot of things being said. There's a lot of things that's being heralded as the way to go. And it leads to a different place than what freedom cries out for. I had a very tender weekend concerning the 4th. I had two kinds of tears. The tears of gratefulness and gratitude of being in a country, the country of America, just awesome heritage that we have, with people losing their lives in order for you and I to be free, to continue to be free. We could be captured by a couple of other nations, but God saw fit with the volunteers, with the armies and Navy, Marines, all of them, with all great military, you know, that we fought back the oppression and the things that were wanting to come and take over even in other parts of the world. So I had tears that were grateful. Then I had tears that were grieving. When I look at where we are in America today, it's changing as I once knew it. The America that I once knew is changing before my very eyes. And it's almost as if I'm thrown into a foreign land that I don't even recognize. And I've been on this earth for almost 70 years, and it's hard for me to even recognize the country. Hard to recognize, but yet grateful that I'm in it. And I've really been going to the Lord about today and some things, and what does he want to say? What does he want said? But if you're gonna say the things that God is saying, you're gonna have to really listen to what he's telling you. Yeah. And this nation is at a crossroads for its very soul. That's my belief anyway. I think that the soul of the nation is at a crossroads, and the pivot place of America in that crossroads is weighing in the balance is our republic. Due process. A lot of that is disregarded today. A lot of that is just overlooked, swept under the rug. And I'm telling you, if the church doesn't answer the call of God on our lives to engage with the kingdom in the earth, we're in this world, but we are not of the world. In other words, we're not of it, because we're of the kingdom. And today move or for this season or this era and time, we're moving from a place of being somewhat secure in what we understand America is to becoming uncertain. Uncertain. And that uncertainty is gradually leading us to a feeling of impossibility. We know that nothing's impossible for God, right? And we have to hang on to that. We have to lean upon that. But I run into a lot of people that has written off America and sees no hope. And when you become a hopeless people, you become a people that is depressed, and you become a people that is just flowing, just going with the flow, because the impossibility causes us to think in our hearts that it'll never change. God can change it in one day. And you may ask, well, why doesn't he? You know, and he can. But I'm telling you, he's looking for his people. Amen. In the midst of what's going on. The heavens are his, but he has given into the hands of the Son of Man. He's given the earth. He has given the earth to us. Yes, he has. And the question is, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to behave? How are we going to live? How are we going to bring what we have that he has given us? What do we do with it? How do we steward that? How do we get to the place of saying, I'm doing what God wants me to do, even though it's going to cost me? Amen. But see, right now in today's world, we are being driven by those that are offended. Almost everybody's offended nowadays. And but we're being driven by people that are offended. They're offended at this statue. They're offended at this. They're offended at that. And they're wanting to get rid of the offenses by getting rid of the objects. And offenses is a matter of a heart, not a matter of what's been done and not a matter of what's been said. It's a matter of the heart. Over in Matthew chapter 24, it talks about there's many that will be offended, but they'll betray one another and they'll hate one another. He said there'll be a lot of false prophets that will rise up, and they shall deceive many. These false prophets, you know, we try to equate that to the church only, but it's not just a church. He didn't say church prophets. He said there's going to be a lot of false voices out there that's not him. And it's going to be bringing us to places that we will, if we don't watch it, we'll be offended as well. And when we become offended, we lose our ability to govern. We lose our ability to have power and authority. That's what offenses will do to a Christian. You know, say, so, well, I don't have authority and power. Yes, you do. It's been given to you by Christ. Yeah. All authority and power I've given to you. So when we don't have it, it's because we've given it away to the enemy. We got to stop doing that, because we can't be. See, every time you're offended, it's a matter of your heart being governed by you and not by God. When you and I become offended, we become a people that we're self-exalted. In other words, we're Lord. Why? Well, I'm in charge of that. I don't like this, and I'm going to be offended about it. That's the reason offenses, when we yield to the being offended, we become self-exalted. And when we're self-exalted, we can't love others. That's the reason the love of many will wax cold. The love of many will grow cold. It's because our heart has been exalted up that wait a minute, this is, but see, here, why do you say that? Because I can tell you this, you are no longer your own. Amen. Right. You have been purchased. You are not your own. Amen. Okay. So when we're offended, and we need to look at those places, really, we need to do an examination. Where are the places where I'm offended? Where are the places that I feel like I'm offended? And when you discover those places that you feel like you're offended, you just may as well look a little deeper and find out that's the place that you've claimed that yourself is the Lord. You've taken some of your ownership back. When he said, you're not your own. I bought you. You're mine. But we have the depth of the scripture. You know, we often look at the surface, but God wants to take us deeper into the things that he wants us to know. He wants us to have. Well, what does it matter about? Why don't we just focus on the kingdom and not have any emphasis on the nation? That's the question. Well, the reason for that is because in Psalm 2, chapter 2, it says that the nations are his inheritance. So, and we're to give him the nations. We are to give him America as a nation that loves God. We are to give him this great land because we are here influencing it with our light and with our salt that he said we are. That means our words. You know, this thing about 2020, and we studied that and taught that concerning this Hebraic year of 2020. We found out that it is the year, it's the first year of a 10-year process concerning what? The mouth. When we look at that and we see that this is the first year of a decade that the emphasis is going to be on what we say and how we say it, and then yet sometimes we're not saying anything. So this year of 20, you know, I've heard people and I felt I hadn't said it, but I'll be glad 2020 is over. I haven't said that. Now, I said that as a repeat of somebody else. I didn't say that. I wanted to say it, but I've heard a lot of people say, I'll be glad 2020 is over. And deep inside of me, I hear this voice. There's nine more behind it. There's nine more years of this thing about your mouth and about what are you doing and how are you using your voice? How are you using your voice to be able to speak to America, to be able to speak to the things that are going? See, we need to be able to look and see what we see, and we do. We see what we see, but we also need to say, okay, God, I see what I'm seeing. But I want to see what you're saying. Yes. 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 I see what I'm seeing, but I want to see what you're saying. Yes. That's going to make a difference. We can hear all the loud voices, and we can hear all the false prophets. We can hear all the false things that are going on and just flooding us. And the one that's the loudest, if we're not careful, we'll lean toward the ones that's the loudest. Well, maybe. He wants us to hear him. Amen. In the midst. And he said, my sheep will hear my voice. He did not say there won't be any other voices. But he did say, my sheep, the ones that are following me. I'm not saying carrying the name of being a Christian. I'm talking about Christ followers. He said, the ones that are following me will hear my voice amongst all the others. Amen? Because the other voices are of a counterfeit spirit. Counterfeiting. Saying, this is the way to go. This is the right way to go. We're going to change America. listen, there's some things in America that needs changing. True? But these voices are counterfeit voices, and they are in the earth today for you and I to be able to discern that that's not God. Because if we don't discern that it's not God, that's not the voice of God, it will lead you away from one of the purposes God has said for you to do, you and I to do, and that is to occupy until he comes. So these counterfeit voices will lead us to the place of not occupying what God has given us. Luke 19:13 says he delivered. He called his servants together, and he gave them 10 pounds. He gave them 10 pounds, but he gave them something. What has God given America? God shed his grace on thee. Has he? Absolutely. And he crowned the good that we do in the name of brotherhood. From sea to shining sea. And he said, I want you to occupy what I've given you. Occupy. No, what does occupy mean? Anybody know? Live. Anybody else? I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Take care of business.
She's spot on. It means to carry on the business of the Father. You and I need to be about the Father's business. You and I need to be doing the things that God wants us to do. But we have allowed the voices of political correctness and the voices of political preferences to interfere with our occupying the land. We are here. We've been given the land. We've been given all of the things. Earth has been given to us. And I asked the Lord this week, I really asked the Lord. I was studying, I was praying along with my tears. And I really said this, God, why don't you do something? And I really, down deep inside, he said, I am. I've given the earth to you. What are you going to do? What will you do? I said, God, we need an awakening. This land needs an awakening. Awaken the people in this land. That's part of my prayer. Awaken these people. Awaken the people. And he said, that's your job. And the reason we're not doing it is because the church is asleep. A slumbering church will never be able to awaken a people. We're sleepwalking. God is calling us to be activated in the places where some of us are afraid to go. We're afraid of the darkness. He tells us that over in Psalm 119, it says, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. See, we need a revival of his ways. The church has to have a revival before the land can have a reformation. The church has to have a revival of the ways of God before the land will be able to have a reformation, before it can ever be reformed. Psalm 119:37 and verse 38 says this, establish your word in your servant. He said, turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. and revive me in your way. Establish your word in your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Establish your word in me because I am devoted in fearing you. Reverencing, with a reverence, not being afraid. That's what I was when I was little. They taught me to be afraid of God because he's around every corner just waiting to let me have it. You know, I was brought up in that kind of stuff, that kind of legalism, that kind of thought process of a loving God. But see, this thing of being reverenced. See, we feel pressure today. How many of you feel pressure today? I do. I feel the pressure of this country. I feel the intensity being ratcheted up. And you can just say the wrong thing. And if it doesn't agree with whoever thinks they're in charge, then you're either a racist, a bigot, or a sinner, or all the above that they want to call you. Why? Because you disagree. That's where we're. I feel the tension. I do. I feel the tension of it. But in the midst of all that, God says, I'll give you peace. Amen. But see, it's not peace to sit down and just say, oh, well. No. It's peace that is beyond my understanding that will get me up to do the things that I know I'm supposed to go do. But see, the reason I'm saying this land is in... Let me read one more passage, and I want to say something else that hope it makes sense. But Acts 14, verse 22. Let me say this before I read that scripture. Paul is here in this city, and he's preaching the word, and he's giving the truth, and people don't like it. His disciples love it, but people don't like it. They don't like it so much that they get up stones, and what do? They stone him. Stone him right there in the city. Thinking he's dead, watch this, thinking he's dead, they drag his body to the outside of the city just for talking about Jesus and bringing truth that convicts the heart. And they drag his body outside the city. Leave him there for dead, thinking he's dead. He may be dead as far as I know. Left him as dead. The disciples and the believers gathered around him outside the city. And they're just standing around him, and he's dead. He's laying, his body is just laying there. And they're just standing around. Don't even say they're praying. But they're just standing around, and all of a sudden, everybody say, all of a sudden. All of a sudden, Paul starts getting up off the ground. Paul starts moving, getting up. And he gets up and stands to his feet. Now, I don't know about you, but that would have been a good time for me to get out of Dodge and go somewhere else. Y'all with me? But that's exactly what Paul did not do. He moved through the people, through the crowd of his followers, and went on right smack dab in the city where they stoned him. I don't know about y'all, but I want that. Somebody said, that means you want to be stoned? I said, no, what that means is if I am stoned, that when I get back up, I'm going to go back. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to go right back in the same city that said that's going to, that did stone me. Right. Offense will keep you away from that city. Right. What you're in pursuit of will cause you to go back to that city. And this is what he said to the people. He said, I want to establish you. I'm here to strengthen your soul. I'm here to strengthen your heart. He's talking. He said, I want to establish you. I want to strengthen your soul. I want to strengthen your heart. and I want to urge you and give you a warning, but I want to encourage you to stand firm in your faith. This is a man that just got through stoning. And he's coming back, and he knows the disciples need to be strengthened, need to be established, need to be encouraged in their hearts. He said, I want you to stand in your faith. Telling them what? That it is through hardships and tribulations that you enter the kingdom of God. You know what I'm telling you? You know what the Bible's telling us? Through every pressure, the bottleneck, when you see a wine bottle or a Pepsi bottle or whatever it is, that narrow place and that little opening, that is called tribulation. That is called difficulty. Because you turn that thing up and it's why? Because it's coming out. It's a tighter spot than what it ever was. I don't like this pressure. But guess what the Bible says? On the other side of it is more of the kingdom of God that you've not seen.
Amen. That's right.
We're about to see the kingdom of God like we've never seen it before. It's on the other side.
Yes.
It's on the other side. Say it's on the other side. But you know, I'm gonna say something. I want you to listen up real close. When we yield to political correctness and we yield to political preferences, and we don't find out the roots of what we're doing or what's happening, we will fall prey. If we yield to that, we will fall prey to passivity. And passivity will lead us to the place of indifference. Doesn't matter. I tell you, there's so much of the church right now that is indifferent. Why? Because I tell you why. It doesn't matter. Jesus is coming after me. Well, maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. I don't know. Concerning you. But see, that's indifferent. It's like, I'm not worried about it. I'm not concerned about this world because why? I got my bus ticket to go home.
Right.
And that way, when we see things, we don't have a voice because all I'm doing is just sitting here waiting for the ride. Let me say this. You ready?
Yes.
John. Doug, Vicky, any other African American in here, I want you to hear me say this. Black lives matter.
Amen.
It's true. That's a wonderful phrase. It really is, because black lives do matter.
Amen.
Don't they? That's not an argument with me. That's not an argument with me. But when you say I support Black Lives Matter as an organization, I got a problem with that. Why is that? Because as an organization, it's Marxist. Even the very leaders in that, listen to me, I'm going to tell you the truth. In that very organization, I'm not talking about people that are out here saying Black Lives Matter because they really do matter. I'm talking about the organization of Black Lives Matter. They're Marxists. Their own leaders say, read it for yourself. It's interviews. Read it for yourself. We are trained. These are the leaders of Black Lives Matter organization. We are trained Marxists. That's what they said. We are trained Marxists. Another one said, if we don't get what we want, we will burn America down. Sounds like a wonderful group to be a part of. Another one says this. A leader in that organization, I'm not talking about people that are really rallying around black people that said, really, they need an opportunity to excel. They need an opportunity to be happy. They don't need to be oppressed. True. I'm for it. But I'm not for this organization. It's evil. Well, aren't you casting judgment? No. Just telling you the truth. This is what they're saying. Here's what they're saying next. We must take America down to the ground in order to rebuild it. Not my America. Here's another one. The images of Jesus and religion are next. They will come down. Offended people. All over the place. Just offended. I don't like that statue. Well, why don't you like that statue? I just don't like it. They don't even know the history. Are y'all hearing me? That's different from a group of people who says, you know, we really need to rally around black people because they've been oppressed and they've had this and they don't have equal opportunity. We need to make sure they get. Listen, I'm for you. I will be right there with you. But as soon as you start connecting with this group, I'm done. I'm out. I'm not out of this one. I'm not going in that one. See, the deception with Christians is all mixed up in this other thing that we should not even be involved in. 2 different things. Say, yeah, we're going to come after Jesus. We're going to come after. See, this whole thing, the root of all of this stuff that you're seeing is to undermine and destroy Judeo-Christian values, beliefs, morals. It's at the root. It's wanting to uproot that. It's coming to a neighborhood near you. I'm telling you. That's what I grieve over. I grieve over the deception that I see people that's hooking up with this when there is a difference. See, the Black Lives Matter that really want to help people, really, really want to make sure that everybody is equal, there's equal opportunity for them to be able to pursue happiness. And that's been hijacked by Black Lives Matter organization who has a total different agenda. They don't care. I'm telling you, they don't care about black lives. They care about power. They care about being in charge. They care about your rights being gone with Marxism. There are no personal rights. Marxism feeds into the process of the state of communism. Where you're told what you can have, what you can't have, what you can do, what you can't do. And then at the very beginning of all that is socialism. They'll promise you anything. I will give you this, we'll give you this. And as soon as you say, yes, we want it. Then a little bit later they say, okay, pay up. Oh, I can't pay, you said it was free. That's what we said then. That ain't what we're saying now. Some of you may be saying, Pastor, you're going to get in trouble. I'm already in trouble. But I'm not going to be in trouble for lying to you, because I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. I look at the clock and I said, God, how in the world am I going to end on that? You see, there is no end. There's only the beginning. Forgotten history will be destined to repeat it. Hitler said this, a man that has no sense of history is like a man who has no ears and no eyes. See, that movement wants to eradicate history, wants to erase history. We can't let history be erased. The closest word in the Hebrew to history is remember. 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 Another one says, people without the knowledge of their past history, origin, or culture is like a tree without any roots. What will happen? It will wither up and die, and it will not reproduce. And people will say, well, it's only statues. Nope. In the natural, that's all it is. But as far as your historic value and being part of your history, listen, it's like this. Do you know when I look at the Old Testament, I see all kind of stuff that ain't good that was done in the Old Testament. Murder goes on and on. Deceit, deception, all in this Old Testament. To go by that theory, we'd have to rip out the Old Testament and do away with it because I don't like it. You know, why did God leave it in there? Here's why. So you can learn from your history and from the history of the world, from the history of the kingdom, from the history of the things of God. So you learn and don't repeat it and don't do it again. Learn from it. That's the reason history is so valuable to us on this earth, so we don't repeat it again. But when we annihilate it and when we erase it, we'll be doomed to repeat it again. See, there's a movement on this earth today that wants to set America back 50 years. Why? We need to be segregated. We want the black national anthem. I don't have a problem. Just don't try to replace it. But you got to have Black Lives Matter. Then, well, this one over here, White Lives Matter, Asian Lives Matter. No. The way Jesus looks at it, every life matters. Every life. He died for every life. Amen. Including the one that is in the womb. Amen. Every life matters. Well, how long are you going to go on this, Pastor? I need to close. I really do. I know I need to close. But I want to encourage you today. I want to get you established with the Word of God, with the truth of God. I want to encourage you to stand firm in your faith and be willing to use your voice out in the community. Don't argue. Don't debate. Don't give an opinion. Give them the word and give it to them with love. And you and I will see a turning in this land. Is there anything else that y'all want me to say? One more thing, and we're going to close on this. Over the that passage about turning the into the hands of giving the earth into the hands of man is Psalm 115:16. But I want to say this, and we're going to close. But you have to listen to me. Today is 120 days till the election. Got 120 days. Now, 120 is a very significant number. Why is that? Because it was 120 that obeyed God into the upper room. And they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to make a difference in the entire world. What you and I do in the next 120 days, I want you to hear this. What you and I do in the next 120 days will set the stage, will set the process for the next generation. In the Bible, a generation is 40 years. What you and I do in the next 120 days will set the course of the next 40 years. Powerful, isn't it? Let's find out what God wants us to do, and then let's do it. You agree? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Stand to your feet, please. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, God, that you are the one who gives us life. You are the one who causes us to be awakened and causes us to be revived and brings us to a place of living. And Lord, I ask you now in Jesus' name that you would infuse in us this burning desire to follow you with all of our being. And that somehow you would place us strategically in the moments of the days that our voice could be used to magnify you, to extend your kingdom, and to turn and reform this earth and our country. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.